the guy who drives it through. Oh, that's a magnificent goal, a sensational goal by the Hullamal captain, Mitchell van der Gijp.
We had the high notes on the park. That's how we became a great team together, you know. It was just unfortunate, we never won anything.
Man's in trouble, there's Steve Kirk. The super sub has done it again. And Mullerwell are back in front.
Without supporters, you cannot play a game. They are a very, very important part of the club.
Jukovic on the chase, might get there. Handel is with it. Jukovic! Oh, wow! Oh, wow! Lukas Jukovic!
I remember to this day, it was unbelievable, and that's another reason I love going back to Fir Park, because you do get to interact with the supporters again, who were wonderful for me.
Chance here for Motherwell. This is Pettigrew, outnumbered though, still has it. Chance of a lifetime for Pettigrew, and it is there!
Yeah, obviously being on the podcast is everything I've dreamed of.
Goes through the middle though, Marvin Johnson. Defenders backing off. Took a deflection!
Hello and welcome to the MSC Podcast. Tonight, myself, Jay and Buster, we'll look back on Saturday's 2-2 draw against Hibs. We'll look ahead to both meetings with Aberdeen. Firstly, the Betfred League Cup match on Thursday. Then the Scottish Premiership fixture on Sunday. We'll also be joined by Richard Hay of the By The Men Aberdeen podcast, who will give us a bit of an insight from an Aberdeen perspective. Guys, welcome along.
Cheers. Good evening.
Well, Jay, Saturday just increases a good feeling about the club. A very good point at Easter Road, two goals down, but there was no signs that the team were beaten. They responded in brilliant fashion. Lou Moult headed in one to put us back in the game, then scored a fantastic goal from about 25 yards out to equalise. A very satisfying afternoon, and we've said it time and time again over the last 3 or 4 podcasts, there's just something about this team, the fight, the determination and the quality, it's just all there just now.
That's it. I mean, obviously Robinson's, you know, we've mentioned it before, Robinson's made a big point this season about the kind of guys he's bringing in, their character, their personalities. I know there was a bit in the press recently about how apparently either he or someone on behalf of the club goes and looks at potential signings' social media accounts. So it's obviously such a big, big part of his plans. You know, it's not just how good a player is, how fit they are, or their experience. It's also the kind of player or the kind of people they are, the kind of characters they are. And it's when you're 2-0 down at a place like Easter Road that you really kind of reap the rewards of that. You're right, a good few times this season that we've found ourselves in that sort of position. You even think, you know, the last round of the Cup, up at Ross County, you know, conceding that penalty and into extra time, a lot of Motherwell sides would have crumbled, and yet we kept battling away. And it was the same on Saturday. I think over the piece we probably deserved to edge it and take the 3 points, but to find yourself 2-0 down at a place like Easter Road, you know, Hibs, maybe we said it last week, well, we kind of said it last week, and then, you know, there was also a second recorded podcast, but you know, the idea that Hibs possibly aren't hitting the heights that they would have expected, or perhaps, you know, personally they've not hit the heights I would have expected so far this season, but they're still a very, very dangerous side. When they've got guys like Anthony Stokes in their team, they're always going to be a threat. So to go 2-0 down there and you know, come back the way we did and possibly go on to win the game, it was fantastic, and it just showed, you know, exactly what this side's about, because there's still more to come from the team. I know Robinson said it, there's still a lot of gelling to be done, a lot of understanding to be made. You know, if we had, you know, if we were at this stage in the season and we had 3 points and things hadn't quite went as well, we would be sitting saying about how, well, it's still early doors, the team's still to gel. That still applies. Even though we're doing well, the team is still to gel. There's still a lot of players getting used to each other, getting used to the style of play, getting used to Scottish football. And so it's an exciting position to be in. And, you know, long may it continue.
Buster, we talked last week, and again, it's something we've talked about over the last couple of weeks when results have been positives, that we seem to have quite a lot of depth within the squad as well. Saturday saw Craig Tanner and Gail Bigarama coming off the bench. Tanner particularly really impressed me. Such a direct player, a fantastic delivery for Molt's first goal, just a very good performance. And it's one of these things now that if a player gets injured or doesn't perform well, he must be very worried that he's going to drop out the side. So a very nice headache for Stephen Robinson to have. And when you look at this next week, where we'll have been at Hibs on the Saturday, a game 5 days later against Aberdeen, then a game quickly afterwards against the same opposition, there will be a wee bit of rotation, and it's a good chance for the guys that are on the fringes to come in and impress, like Tanner's done, like Bigorama's done, like Alan Campbell's done earlier on in the season, and now looks very much like a mainstay in that first team.
Yeah, as you say, it's good to have such a, you know, such depth in the squad. Usually you would look through the bench and it would be, you know, four or five young guys who, you know, with all due respect to them, you wouldn't really expect to come on and change a game with us. As you say, we've got guys like Tanner, who obviously put in the cross, you mentioned, Bigorama, who gave the ball to Louis Moult, I think, you know, for his second one as well. And as you say, there's other guys on that bench as well. You mentioned Alan Campbell, we've got about four or five people who are all sort of battling for those sort of central midfield positions. So it's good to see that we have got such depth in the squad, and especially when it comes up to, you know, when we're playing on a Thursday and then on a Sunday or whatever it is coming up, you know, we're going to need to rotate it a wee bit. And I believe you were talking to Elliot Freer in the stand, and I think he was the one that gave you a line there about being feared not to get back in.
Yeah, it was that. I wasn't going to quote him directly though, so thank you very much for putting me in it there.
Name drop.
We'll talk about the game, and then I want to talk about Louis Moult a wee bit as well. But the game itself, Jay, we go 1-0 behind to what I thought was quite a dubious penalty. Martin Boyle going down under a challenge from Charles Dunn. Looked like there was very minimal contact.
Aye, I mean, it's not slightly a dubious penalty, it's just a dive every day of the week. In fairness, you know, Hibs should have had a penalty when Stokes was taken out by McHugh. I think that was a stonewall penalty. I think Richard Tate's is a penalty as well. Unfortunately, he decides to swan dive, and he's only got himself to blame there. If he actually just goes down naturally or tumbles to the ground, I think we get a penalty. Instead, he decides to throw his arms out and you know, do some sort of weird ballet move, and that basically picked up the booking. So I suppose in a way he did dive, but it was probably a foul before it. But the penalty Hibs got, no, that was a dive all day long. And, you know, I saw Charles Dunn's tweet about, you know, whatever I've done to referees up here, I'm sorry, because he must feel, you know, every time he takes a foot onto the park that he's going to get some sort of foul or penalty against him or a red card, because, you know, such is the standard of Scottish refereeing that when someone hits the deck, who knows what's going to happen.
Well, you would say that, but at the same time, Charles Dunn also was adamant that he should have been sent off at Ross County, and then when you looked at that on the back, yeah, you thought... second goal, fantastic finish from Stokes, but I think we could have defended it slightly better, Buster.
Yeah, I think you're right. Now, without checking it again in the last half an hour, you know, I watched them back yesterday, the highlights, and I think Keeper made a wee bit of an arse yet, you know, he's sort of like a hero to everybody basically at Fir Park. He's I think he's going to have that wee mistake in him. You know, unfortunately on this occasion it fell straight to Stokes and he's literally just toe poked in at the top corner. But as you say, it was looked a pretty poor mistake to make, and for the game in general, I don't actually think, probably not ourselves either, but I don't actually think Hibs deserved to win it, to be honest with you anyway. I don't think they certainly deserved to be two goals up at that point. So, you know, a share of the points was probably a lot fairer, but obviously with my current number to expect some, you know, I'm thinking that we had enough chances towards the end, especially, you know, especially the last half hour or so. I thought that we were the better team by far, and you know, it was an end that was quite disappointing not to actually win the game. But, you know, coming back for 2-0 down to get a draw, it's like a win in a way. So, you know, we'll take them when we get them. Aye, the Capri one, I think, was a definite mistake from him. It's easy. You know, we've obviously been singing his praises. I think just about every Motherwell fan on the planet's been singing his praises. And it's easy to forget that he's, you know, a 20-year-old still only playing, you know, the first team football games his entire career. So, you know, if he continues to play, you know, the way he has been, but has that wee odd mistake that you would expect from an inexperienced youngster, you know, it's going to happen. But if he manages to keep the ratio from mistakes to great games the way he has been doing, then we've still got a fine player.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it would have really kind of capped off a remarkable comeback when he went on his maisie at the end of the game, I think. I think his legs maybe just couldn't quite carry him that far, but he actually dropped the shoulder and three Hibs players went in the opposite direction, which was quite a sight to see, but... Yeah, I think for all that it was pretty poor defending, we can certainly let him away with that one. First halves are still a wee bit of a concern, I suppose. We are slow starters. I still think, with the exception of the Hearts game at Fir Park, Morton in the League Cup, we've really struggled to put in a decent first half performance. We're going to need to rectify that, particularly as we go into games against Aberdeen, a good side. You've got to avoid the situation, Jay, where the game's out of sight because you're punished by better teams for your slow start.
No, I completely agree. There is, obviously, it's almost like a weekly talking point every time that we're on the podcast. We do seem to be referencing quite a poor first half, or maybe not a poor first half, but, you know, a slow start, maybe taking 20, 25 minutes to actually get going. I wonder how much that is perhaps to do with what I was saying earlier, you know, just... still feeling, a lot of players still feeling their way into Scottish football, playing against players and teams that they're unfamiliar with, perhaps still getting used to each other on the park, and it maybe just takes, you know, 20-25 minutes at the moment for things to click into play. So I would like to think that's something that will just come naturally. Hopefully, you know, the sooner the better, because as you said, you don't want to start getting into a routine where teams know that if they come along to Fir Park, they can, or you know, visit or welcome Motherwell to their stadium, they can just kind of go out and blow us away in the first 10 minutes, because we're going to be caught cold. I think we need to try and get it sorted sooner rather than later, but I do think it's one of those things that will just come with time.
And as I said, I'd like to kind of talk about Louis Moll, a guy that perhaps we thought was struggling to find his fitness, to find his form that we know he could produce. It must be very difficult for a guy relatively young and early on in his career to have all this attention over the transfer window. He's responded fantastically well. That was certainly his best performance of the season so far for me on Saturday. Missed a few chances early on, but he'd responded in great fashion, Buster. A well-taken header, despite the fact the goalkeeper did... I don't know what he was coming for, but it certainly worked to our favour. In the second goal, he takes it in so nicely, spins, and it's a fantastic finish.
Yep, I think if you other than the two free kicks Louis Moult scored in the Betfred Cup, you know, I think we were coming on to the sort of a similar opinion of... He's not looking at his best, he's not looking at his sharpest, I know he's missed a couple of sitters. And he missed another sitter again on Saturday. It was a corner and he was at the back post himself and he completely ballooned it out of the bar with a header. You know, when we'd expect, you know, your star man, your centre forward to bust the net there again. But if you look at his, I think he's played something like 10 or 11 games this season, and he's got 7 goals, I think, so... You know, if that sort of scoring ratio, you can't argue with that either, to be fair. It's great that he's still here. Whether or not we'll lose him in January, or whether or not, you know, he'll sign a pre-contract and to go somewhere else in May, I don't really think that matters at the moment. Obviously, I'm sure the club would love to sort of tie him down, or, you know, at least try their best to see if he's interested in it. But as long as he keeps banging in the goals, it's going to be good for both parties.
Yeah, Jay, I think the goal against Hearts maybe has swung it for Mo. He maybe again had a bit of a frustrating afternoon against Kilmarnock the previous Saturday, but the form is certainly picking up and it looks very much like we've got the same Louis Mo as we always had in our hands, which is only a good thing for the team because we're playing very well now and it'll be the first time perhaps that Louis Moult's really going to be able to flourish in a team that kind of matches his contribution.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's a good point. I mean, obviously, you look at his scoring record and what he's done for Motherwell, and then factor into the fact that he's been playing in two really, really poor teams who've narrowly avoided relegation and been at the wrong end of the table. So to be in a side that's playing the way they are and is, you know, creative and putting the ball where he wants it to be, I mean, he could have had four goals on Saturday. You know, to go to Easter Road and have a player who, I would imagine, will be probably quite disappointed in himself because, you know, he's hit the bar. And then that header, I'm not quite sure what he was trying to do with it because he got it all wrong. But, I mean, that was a glorious chance and it was a really well-worked corner. So to go to Easter Road and possibly come away with four goals, I think William Moult's probably the kind of player, because he pushes himself and he strives for the best, he's probably more disappointed that he missed those two than the fact they scored two. And that's the kind of player you want. But no, it's a great place to be in. You're right, I think if we can hang on to him for the year, then there's no telling just how many goals he could possibly score, because we are creating more this season. We're more dangerous. But also in terms of his own form, I wonder, you know, obviously we've said it before, nobody quite knows what was behind the first couple of games, you know, whether it was a mental thing, a physical thing. But I think that you can definitely see that as his form's picked up and the goals have started flying in, there doesn't seem to be quite as much of the petulance and the throwing himself about and hitting the deck that he was doing earlier in the season. So I don't know, you know, what came first, whether he was just off form and the petulance was out of frustration, or whether, for whatever reason, he was petulant from the start and that was affecting his form. But either way, it's good to see that that's not quite as big a game as a part of his game that it seemed to be at the start of the season. And of course, it seems as though we're getting back to the old Louis Moult.
We talked about contracts there in regards to Louis Moult. There's quite a few guys in short-term deals, and there's also a very significant one for me being the manager, who is in a contract that lasts up to the end of the season. Would you hope to see some strides there to secure Stephen Robinson's future? Because while we've kind of talked in the past about managers like Tommy Wright, Alan Archibald, maybe being overlooked for the job that they're doing at so-called lesser clubs, Robinson's really, well, it guided us to safety last season, not in the most stylish of manners, but he did the job that he was asked to do. He started this season fantastically, building a very good squad in the process. He certainly seems like the kind of guy that you want to be at the helm at the football club.
I think it's a good point. I mean, it just shows you just how good how good a buzz there is and how positive people are looking. Because if you'd asked that question, you know, if you'd raised that point during the summer, the idea that he's only on a deal to the end of the season, then, you know, there was a stage where if the club had offered him anything more than that, they would have got crucified. Because, you know, I don't think there's any secrets, and I'm sure Stephen Robinson is well aware that when he was appointed, there was a lot of sort of dissenting voices in the Motherwell support, a lot of people frustrated, claiming it was the cheap option, the easy option. You know, a lot of negative comments, which perhaps, you know, we come to expect these days. So the very fact that we're having this conversation, just a matter of, what, six games into the season, and we're discussing, you know, renewing or extending the manager's deal, just shows you how good things are at the moment. I don't think there's any need to rush into it. He himself has said that there's no point in getting carried away yet, so I certainly wouldn't do the same with, you know, suddenly furnishing them with extended deals for years. But it's a good point. It's something we need to keep an eye on, because we've had a fair share of, you know, since McCall left, you know, Barraclough just was a bit of a disaster. McGee, you know, okay, McGee came in and obviously managed to rescue our season at the tail end of the one he kept us up, but then went on to just produce an absolute shit fest in the park. So we seem to finally be getting back to where we want to be, and if that involves getting Robinson in on a longer term deal, then it's absolutely something we should be looking at. But it's certainly not something I'd be looking at this early on in the season. But yeah, everything points towards, hopefully, getting him signed up for a couple of more years, and I think that's testament to how we've started the season.
I think what you said there is exactly what I was going to say. You know, there is no point in rushing at the moment. It's still really early, to be honest with you, and, you know, his sort of his reign. Towards the end of last season, you know, I was quite happy to say that, you know, it was a bit of a shit fest then as well. But don't get us wrong, he told us, you know, this is not going to be pretty. We need to actually survive here, and I'm willing to do it any way possible. You know, he told us that, he got the job done. The back three as well, you know, I had a bit of a go at it last season. again, though, he was working with different players. He's come in before, obviously, but during the summer there, he's brought in his own team. We got a lot of business done really early in the summer as well, which I liked as well. So that's not only credit to Stevie Robinson, but the club in general. You know, we've been talking about the club for the last couple of weeks anyway, but as you see, I think it's a wee bit premature to be talking about extending it. I don't think there's any need to rush into extending his deal. But, you know, it's not something that if they did do right now, wouldn't they be upset about it?
Aye, I think it's also quite crazy that we're having this conversation when you actually factor in the fact that, social media and Steelman Online, it wasn't necessarily a minority. There was a good few people even concerned at the fact that we'd given them the 18-month deal in the first place. You know, I think there was a lot of people suggesting that it was too big a risk and he should only have been there to the end of the season. So who knows what would have happened in that regard. If we'd kept him on to the end of the season, would they have even taken it in the first place? Because I don't, you know, he applied for the job just like everybody else, and I don't imagine we would have brought anybody else in to the end of the season, so would he have went for that? If he did, would the club have then decided that although we stayed up, it wasn't attractive enough, and so we'll get someone else in? You know, there's a lot of questions there, so I think at this stage, I'm thankful that we didn't go along the lines of just offering him to the end of the season like a lot of fans wanted. But it just shows you again how well we're doing at the moment and how good folk are feeling about Motherwell. The fact that we've went full circle from folk, you know, being upset or angry that he was getting a deal longer than just a couple of months, and now we're talking about him extending his deal beyond this season.
Yeah, I must admit, I was one of the people that wasn't sure. Not actually when he was appointed, it was more the case, the performances, despite the fact the results were slightly improved, and let's not go over the score here because we survived by the skin of our teeth. It was victories at Accies and the home victory against Kilmarnock that kept us up. But that was still the same team that went into the last game of the season and were 3-0 down to Cali Thistle, who have gone on to stink out the championship so far as well. So we certainly weren't flying. I was pretty unsure, but it's been a very reassuring summer, I suppose. And I just kind of, I don't want us to get caught cold, but I think it's more the playing side than the management team just now that we should be looking to, if there is any guys coming up to next summer and we're desperate to hold on to them, then we've got to kind of act now, because as I say, there's been too many occasions where we have been caught on the hop and we lose guys that are big players for us for next to nothing. What we'll do just now is we'll invite in Richard Hay from the By the Men Aberdeen podcast. We'll preview both the League Cup game on Thursday night and the league game on the Sunday. Richard, welcome along.
Hi Andy, how you doing?
Yeah, doing well, mate. And I suppose that despite a very good start to the season for Aberdeen, there's maybe a wee bit of disappointment in how the last couple of weeks have gone.
I don't want to sound too greedy. It was a good start in terms of getting points on the board. 4 wins out of 4 was great in anybody's mind. But the performances haven't really been matching the point haul to date. And it's no real surprise, I think, that we've started to stumble a bit in recent weeks. Definitely a sense that the team isn't quite clicking. I mean, we're delighted, obviously, to still be up there and still be producing results most weeks. So it's hardly a crisis. But, definitely a little bit of worry.
Jay, that's kind of music to our ears, I suppose. The last couple of weeks for us have went very, very well, and spirits are going to be high. A big crowd expected at Fir Park with reduced admission prices too. I don't want to say there's nothing to fear, because there's obviously a lot of quality in that Aberdeen squad, but at the same time, and the first time for a long time, we're going to a game like this really believing that we can get something.
Oh no, absolutely. It's one of those ones where you can look at it either way. On the one hand, you look at Aberdeen's results, certainly not their performances, because I've not seen a great deal. But what Richard's saying there, I have seen mirrored on social media and on the likes of Pye and Bovril and places like that. I do recognise that there is a little bit, not concern, but you know, things haven't quite gone to plan the last couple of weeks. That said, you know, you're talking about a side who I would have suggested were going to finish second again this year, and that's exactly where they are. They're 2 points off the top place. That's a good side. And So as much as I, perhaps music to our ears, the idea that it's not the, the Aberdeen side part that could have been firing on all cylinders at this stage in the season. But that said, it's a cup tie. I think we would have taken anybody at home in the cup, bar Celtic. That said, if we have any aspirations to do anything in the League Cup, you're going to have to play Celtic at some point anyway. But, you know, a midweek game, Fir Park, under the floodlights, the best surface in Scotland, and we're playing well. I think it's got all the ingredients for being a really, really good cup tie, first and foremost. And you're right, I think Motherwell fans can go along and be full of a lot more optimism than perhaps we would have thought we would have been if you'd told us a few weeks ago that we're going to be playing Aberdeen in a cup quarter-final.
And Buster, Stephen Robinson stressed the importance of turning Fir Park into a fortress of sorts. The last three home games have all brought with them victories. This is certainly a different challenge. You don't want to dwell on the results last season against Aberdeen, but let's face it, they weren't very positive. Got to eradicate these memories. It's a different squad now, almost completely different squad. We've got to kind of play the occasion and not remember what's went on in the past, I guess.
That's exactly it. And as you say, you know, we've had a few good results at Fir Park so far this year. As I say, we've got a lot of home games in the beginning of the year, so, you know, it's good to get in that sort of winning mentality at home if that's what we can do. And as you know, as you have said just there, it's the cup. If you want to go far in the cup, you're going to have to beat the better teams. So, you know, I suppose it'll be the double header coming up will be a good test of where we actually are. I think, you know, Rangers was too early for us, probably even too early for them as well at that point in the season. But I think that after a couple of games settled in, this will be a good test to see where we are. Good Aberdeen seem to be alright. I've only ever really seen the highlights of their games, but you know, they've got guys like Stevie May and Ryan Christie who would walk into MD's team really like maybe barring Celtic, I suppose, but. You know, it's going to be a good game, I think, or a good couple of games, and I think it'll be a really good test for us.
Richard, we've talked a lot in our podcast about the overhaul in the Motherwell squad over the summer. I suppose Aberdeen, while not quite to the same extent, there's been a lot of change, a lot of new faces. There was also the uncertainty over Derek McInnes's future as well. Do you think that maybe is the reason for a somewhat maybe underwhelming start in terms of performances, maybe guys just finding their feet at the moment?
Well, I think it's partly that, obviously, and it's partly, I think, there is a subtle change in the way we're trying to play, and that's brought about because of the people that have gone out the door in some respects. Johnny Hayes, tireless worker up and down that left wing. The guys that have been brought in, such as Mackay Stephen, aren't that same kind of player. So there have to be adjustments in terms of Andy Considine at left back can't go bombing forward with the same certainty now that he doesn't have Johnny in front of him. Equally, Niall McGinn on the other side might do nothing for 85 minutes but then do something which would win you the game. So there's a lot of adaptation going to be needed, not just from the players that have stayed, but obviously, of course, the bedding in of the new players. Some of them have hit the ground running, some of them quicker than others. Stevie May looks a dangerous, dangerous player already. But what I will say is that last season, we didn't really click. And we didn't really click until around about December, in fact. We were middling, we were down right in a battle with Hearts and the Rangers for second. We were down at fourth place, I think, by the end of November, and we'd been hammered in the League Cup final. But then we pitched up at Fir Park on a midweek evening. And it was a fairly tight game, but ultimately we came away with a good, solid 3-1 win. And that really was a catalyst, not only to a good second half of the season from us, but Derek McInnes finally alighting on his favoured 11, his starting 11 last season. And I kind of feel that's where we are now. We need to decide, great, we've got a lot of options and it could be a horses for courses approach, but I do think we need to decide who our best 11 is, and I don't think the manager has quite got that in any area of the pitch, to be honest. So going back to the original question, yes, guys have got to settle in, but also I think McInnes is trying to evolve the tactical side of our team as well.
And Thursday, looking at Thursday night, this is quite an attractive cup tie from our point of view. I know that you've already been to Lanarkshire for your previous round match, and the prospect of coming to Motherwell twice in 3 days might not appeal to you very much, but you would expect a healthy Don's travelling support, certainly for the initial game with reduced admission prices.
Yeah, on Thursday night, it's good to see that. I mean, like in the previous round against Hamilton, £10 tickets is good. I believe we've sold 1,700 tickets as of tonight, Monday night. So that's healthy. I'm not sure the crowd on Sunday lunchtime will be quite as vociferous or plentiful in number, because nothing kills a game like a weekend lunchtime kickoff, I seem to find. But Thursday night's got all the makings of a really close, competitive tie, and I don't expect us to win both games, let's put it that way. I have confidence in it. Still on the team, even though the performances have been patchy, but I don't expect us to go and win twice at Fir Park this week. If you have to push me, I'd obviously take the cup game.
Yeah, well, that's actually what I was going to ask there. The fact that you've been to two cup finals last season, you've had the taste for it, but ultimately come away defeated in both occasions. Is there a wee bit in the back of your mind thinking that for now, second to Celtic is the best you can aspire to, or is there hope amongst Aberdeen supporters that they can kick on and the team can deliver a trophy?
I think in the league of the 38 games, there has to be an element of realism. You want to obviously cement your place as second, first and foremost, and then obviously try and cut the gap to Celtic. But we can only manage what we can do. If Celtic go unbeaten again all season, then it's practically impossible to catch them, even if we were to beat them in the head-to-head. We're going to drop points. We're not so far ahead of the other teams in the league, unlike Celtic, that we're not going to go through the season without results like the one on Saturday on Kilmarnock. There are going to be games like that because, you know, we don't have players far in advance of the other side. We're not as arrogant to believe that. I think in a one-off game, absolutely, Celtic are there to be challenged, they're there to be beaten, and you do that by getting to the later stages of the Cup, by getting to Cup Finals. We weren't a million miles away at Hampden back in May, and I think last season, getting to two finals was important. It's only the second and third finals we've made under McInnes. So in some respects, that was a monkey off our back just to reach that stage, because we've struggled in semi-finals over the years. But of course, it makes you want to go back and not just taste the experience of a big day out again, but actually win it. Because it's winning that cup final in May could be transformative for a club. And I kind of feel we're that away from really building on what Derek McInnes has done at Aberdeen over the past few years. Just another cup win, ideally in the Scottish Cup. And I think that could really light the torch paper, along with obviously the potential stadium move.
Buster, I suppose we possibly not at that quite at that stage, but certainly the supporters always come out for the cup ties. The prospect of a Hampden semi-final, whether it be in the League Cup or the Scottish Cup, I'm not really that fussy. I would love to see us sample some success in one of the cup competitions. It's very much overdue. I think these are the games the supporters that we relish, isn't it? The chance to kick on. And let's face it, we can't control, as Richard was saying, what Celtic do, what Rangers do, what Hibs and Hearts do, but we've got this tie against Aberdeen, a chance to go to a semi-final, one game away from the final. It's an exciting one.
Oh, it definitely is. I think, you know, the League Cup in general, nobody really takes it serious until you get to about this point. Or not that they don't take it serious, you know. I think the fans always give it the, oh, it's a diddy cup anyway, it's a diddy cup anyway, until you get to a certain point where, you know, you're thinking, we're only one or two games away from being in the final here. But, you know, as she says, it's something for the fans to enjoy, obviously getting closer to the you know, the bigger stages of the cup. But I'm a bit weary of, you know, the whether or not I would want to win the cup game or the league game, to be honest with you. But it's, you know, as Richard said as well, I think we will win one of them. I don't know what one. I don't think there's a chance he's winning two of them. But it's I honestly don't know which one I'd prefer to win. But you see, if you win this one, you're away to, you know, Hampden or whatever for a national cup competition semi final. So there's always that element here.
Jay, it's very hard to preview the league fixture without having the benefit of hindsight and knowing what goes on Thursday night. But at the same token, I guess it's more of the same at home in the league. We're now four without defeat, 10 points out of the last 12. Yes, it'll be a difficult game, but again, it was, as I said, Stephen Robinson has mentioned that he wants the likes of Aberdeen to come to Fir Park. And for the first time in maybe quite a few years, think we're really in for a game here.
Yeah, that's it, absolutely. You're right. I mean, obviously, if we had a game against anybody on Thursday and then the Aberdeen game on Sunday, it would be hard to preview the game on Sunday because you wouldn't know what would go on the Thursday. But even more so when you're playing Aberdeen, because there may be specific threats that we've not thought about or tactical changes that we make for the game on Sunday that we'll only actually learn on Thursday. You've also got the added extra with the likes of Charles Dunn obviously missing this game. He's obviously been a first choice for the back three. He'll obviously be out on Thursday. So will it be Stevie Hamill will probably come in. And then it just depends, you know, does Hamill have a great 90 and then he starts on Sunday, or does Dunn come right back into the team? So far too many questions for the game on Sunday to really properly preview it. Just in the idea of what one would you take, the, a win in the cup or the win in the league, for me it would be the cup. That's both the head and heart, I think, saying so. From the heart perspective, of course, you know, every football fan loves a cup run, perhaps a wee bit more as well when you're a Motherwell fan or a team of that ilk who have been so poor in cups for years and years and years. So to be 90 minutes or you know, perhaps extra time and penalties away from a semi-final at Hampden, I think would be fantastic. But also, you know, in terms of the head argument, at the end of the day, it's a big payday to get to the semi-final. I know the League Cup gets bad press, like you've said, but because the semi-finals are split four ways, you know, the club stands to make a few hundred grand out of that if we make it, and that's big, big money. And I think if you had to give us a win in that and take that money, particularly now that we're fan-owned, I think that'd be a fantastic boost to what has already been a really good financial month or two for the club. And then, you know, if we were to then lose on Sunday, you then have the rest of the season to play catch-up on those 3 points. So for me, I would take the cup win every day of the week.
And Richard, I've basically, maybe somewhat lazily, eradicated the need to preview Sunday's game, but you mentioned the kick-off time, and I think that is an interesting one. You guys, being as far north as you are, tend to suffer more than most in the league with the change of kick-off times. It's not an ideal, but I guess it's just part and parcel of the game, somewhat.
It seems to be, if I had my way, I know Friday nights, again, ideal. Obviously, people work Fridays, and it's tough to get away on time to meet the game, but I think an evening kick-off Friday night makes for a much, much better atmosphere than the Saturday and Sunday lunchtime slots. I think we need to be looking to create a balance in the TV deal between, obviously, what works for TV in terms of free slots, but also what works for atmosphere. Obviously, Police Scotland have agreed in most circumstances that Friday night games are okay. Why can't we try Saturday night games? I know that there's a bit bigger risk of people drinking all day, but surely for some of the low-profile games, which I think Motherwell Aberdeen would be in that vein, we should be giving that a try. But again, obviously, that's got to work for BT or for Sky or whoever it is broadcasting the games. So that's a personal thing. Other people, I dare say, will probably quite like the idea of a Sunday lunchtime kickoff. They might play football on a Saturday afternoon. They might be able to get to the game. But for me, they are the worst places on the calendar, definitely.
Richard, thank you very much for coming on tonight. We really appreciate it. We don't wish you the best in the next couple of games, but we do wish you the best for the rest of the season.
Thank you very much.
No problem at all.
Cheers, Richard.
Guys, I think that pretty much wraps us up for this week. As I said before, we seem to talk a bit less when things are going well, but a very exciting week for the club coming up, and let's hope it goes well. Thanks very much for your time.
Cheers. Oh, well, thank you.
You've been listening to the MSC podcast. We'll be back next Monday. Until then, thank you. Goodbye.